This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Seth, I'm just going to say that Butter in the Rear is hitting big on the text page. I'm just going to let you know that right now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a big shock.
The only thing, and we stumbled onto that little wonder. We were talking, of course, about putting butter on the backside of a Pop-Tart. Pop-Tart, of course, being an actual Pop-Tart. That's not a metaphor for my wife. It's actually a Pop-Tart. You put butter in the rear and the frosting on the front. So, yeah.
Is it? I texted Clint to find out because I'm willing to do this experiment. I'm even willing to film myself doing this experiment to see if I think it's delicious. And I'm sure it's going to taste good. I'm just wondering if it's the preferred way. Like, I like hamburgers without ketchup, but I like them better with ketchup, you know? So it can be good either way. I'm just curious if butter is an improvement. Do you envision it being toasted or untoasted Pop-Tarts with the butter on it, Seth?
Oh, untoasted. I'm not one of these monsters that drinks untoasted Pop-Tart. That's a low-rent move right there, man. Mm. Like, what, you can't afford a toaster? Go open a bank account. Yeah, no, I don't, I'm not, that's a desperate move. I've done it before, but only when I had to. I would never willingly eat an untoasted Pop-Tart.
I actually like untoasted Pop-Tarts, and it has nothing to do with my level of affluence or what demographic sector I'm in. I happen to like the way that they taste untoasted. I think they're like cookies in a way.
You sound like
some kind of savage.
Now you sound like one of these hipsters that's drinking cheap beer because you choose to, not because it's the only thing you can afford.
There's a bunch of Lone Star in my fridge right now, my friend. If a bunch of Lone Star in the fridge and untoasted Pop-Tarts are wrong, I don't want to be right. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Is Lone Star cheap?
I got a 12-pack for $12.99.
Okay.
That's not expensive.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I'll be honest with you. I don't buy a ton of beer. But, Amy and I have been eating a lot of takeout lately. I tend to skew more towards the less expensive beers when I'm eating takeout pizza and wings and crawfish and things like that. It adds to the overall chemistry of the situation.
You know what happened? I got once a beer maker gave me a whole bunch of cider. I was doing ads for a hard cider, which it wasn't normally my drink of choice, but I felt like, well, I'm doing the ads. I got to make it my drink of choice and really cultivate a taste for this. They stopped by my house and they gave me, I honestly don't want to exaggerate, it was like 20 cases of hard cider. And it was like, it was right when it had started to get hot out in May and June. And that stuff goes down so easy.
It's good.
It started to be a little bit of a problem because I started thinking, and I was doing a lot of yard work. I was trying to put, we were putting a garden in the back, and it tasted like Gatorade to me, or like something that I should be drinking that was refreshing. And it got to be a little bit of a problem. Yeah. Because it was that good.
I had no idea that your former teammate, Tony Boselli, had tested positive for COVID-19 until I saw this article on Pro Football Talk a couple of days ago. How you found out too?
Yeah. Mike Freeman had tweeted about it and said that Tony Boselli had been in the ICU with COVID and he's out now and he's doing well. I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't. I just sent Tony a quick text like telling him, please don't respond. Just want to let you know I'm all right. I didn't want to be inquiring or asking about this because this is a touchy situation when a public personality gets the COVID, but doesn't necessarily release the information himself. I saw a lot of journalists, including Pete Prisco, who started off in Jacksonville, I don't know if he lives in South Florida now or if he still lives in Jacksonville, but he knows Tony really well. Prisco was kind of PO'd that Mike Freeman had reported this news and said as much. Now, it's not a HIPAA violation for a reporter to report the news. As soon as he ever start talking about this, people say, well, it's a HIPAA violation. HIPAA only prevents medical personnel from disclosing information. It doesn't prevent a reporter from actually disclosing anything he wants to at all. But there is a question as to whether it's ethical or not, especially when, and it gets more tricky now because, okay, is it ethical in a normal time? Probably not. But is it ethical when this might be part of protecting the public good? I would still veer towards no, but I'm not so sure.
If you were Tony Boselli, would you want it to be reported? Because, and the reason I ask is there's part of me that would welcome the prayers and the well wishes and the reaching out and things like that. That stuff makes you feel good during a time like that, that people are thinking about you. Do you? And I don't even know if Boselli has commented on this or anything. I'm just asking you, if you were Tony Boselli, how would you feel about it being reported as a former athlete who is now in the broadcasting world?
Well, I would say, I think that there's the private side of me that wouldn't want it reported, but I would imagine like anybody, this is a little bit like if you have an STD, right? And you have to call around your former partners telling you that you tested positive for something. I think the COVID is a little bit like that, but on a grand scale, where it's not through any fault of your own or anything.
Yeah.
But you gotta figure out where you've been and alert people that they might need to get tested and go through all of that. And I would imagine, I mean, when you're a public personality, it's a pretty easy way to do it just to report it. I guess I don't want to judge how anybody reacts to a situation that I've never been in. I think personally it would be something like I wouldn't want to do it, but I would feel obligated to say, put it out there. Like say if I'm in Houston, people know who I am. And if I found out I had the corona, I would probably just say, hey, everybody, I've got the corona. If you came up to me a week ago or so before we started being adamant about social distancing, you might want to think about, you know, whether you had it or not.
Yeah, I mean, I think the obvious difference with the COVID and the STD is I don't think there's any embarrassment in getting the coronavirus. It's just you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. The STD could indicate a whole lot of things about your vetting process of partners, your promiscuousness, your degree of drunkenness when you're out at 2 a.m. You know, that's a lot more of a personal thing than COVID, which is, man, I just maybe I touched the wrong banister or something like that and then put my hands to my face.
Yeah. Well, if you think about Rudy Gobert, like Rudy Gobert, well, it was twofold. Rudy Gobert got a lot of crap, but the big part of it was because he was intentionally coughing on things and rubbing things beforehand and kind of making a big joke out of it. But like, I'll stick up for Gobert a little bit in that was when I would say the majority of the population at that time wasn't taking it all that seriously and didn't know too much about it. But then because he got it, people kind of looked at him like he had intentionally infected people with it or something, right? I think it's more complex than that.
I guess the other ones that affected the sports world recently, Doris Burke got it, but I think she announced it on Adrian Wojnarowski's podcast. Like, I think that was more of, to your point, that was more of her being able to make a decision to tell people. But I love Doris Burke. I think Doris Burke is very likable and awesome at her job. I'm not wishing it on even unlikable people, but Doris Burke is somebody who I don't know personally, but of the people in our business, the broadcasting business that I don't know personally, I really like her work a lot. She seems like a really nice person.
Well, and I would imagine like at some point, look, there's going to be more and more stories because for one, we know that a lot of people have it already that just can't get tested. You know, so we know that there are a ton of people that either have had it and didn't show many symptoms or didn't realize it, or because they were young and otherwise healthy and the symptoms weren't bad enough, they didn't get tested. Doris Burke said that she felt miserable. Like she felt really bad. She was exhausted. She said her symptoms were a little bit different than the most widely reported symptoms. Hers was like the biggest was just extreme fatigue more than it was respiratory or what have you. But I think like at some point, a huge percentage of the population is going to have this. It's a matter of just keeping pace with all the hospital beds and ventilators, while that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And do some have it to the degree where they can just muscle through it like it's the flu? There's so little we know about it still at this point. We're still at the front end of the curve. Did you see, Seth, I know you did that scientist that tried to steal your idea. You had a great idea and you didn't trademark it and the guy tried to steal it from you.
My brilliant idea of an app that keeps you from touching your face, because that seems to be, which is a good idea for after the coronavirus too. I put that out idea there. I kind of threw it out there, just asking if there was one, and maybe if somebody had an idea to get one, you know, or to invent one, that would be cool. And then all these people said, Seth, just stay isolated in your home. And I'm like, I'm not talking about the coronavirus. I'm talking about I'm not going to stay in my house for the next 50 years so I don't get any virus at all. At some point, I'd like to be out about in public and also not touching my face as much. But this guy had some kind of device that was based on magnets that were sounding an alarm if you touched your face. But he ended up having four magnets stuck up his nose, and he's some kind of astrophysicist that is an otherwise smart guy, but he might be one of these guys that's too smart for his own good, because he goes, I have some electronic equipment, but really no experience or expertise in building circuits or other things. So I thought if I built a circuit that could detect the magnet field and we wore magnets on our wrists, and it could set off an alarm. And apparently he just ended up shoving a bunch of magnets up his nose and had to go to the hospital for it.
No, that's what he gets for trying to steal your idea.
Yeah.
Karma.
As I was pulling downwards to try to remove the magnets, they clipped onto each other and I lost my grip. And those magnets ended up in my left nostril where the other one was in my right. At this point, I ran out of magnets. So it was a...
You ever put a magnet in your nose before? I have.
Why?
Here's what I did. Have you ever seen those, if you don't want to pierce your ear, you can get those earrings that just, you put one magnet on one side of your earlobe and you put the diamond stud part, outer part on the other side, and the magnet is able to draw through your earlobe. You know, it's for people who want to look like they're, you know, look like they've got some game, but they don't feel like piercing their ear. They're like magnet diamond studs. What I did is my parents came to visit me my senior year in college on parents' weekend, and to prank them, I did that. I got one of those magnet diamond studs, but I put it on my nose instead of my ear when they landed, and I was picking them up at the airport. So I had the magnet back part of it on the inside of my nose, and then I stuck the diamond stud on the outside part of my nose. And that was back when you could meet them at the gate. You know, there had been no, you know, terrorism measures put in place back in 1990 or whatever it was. And I met them at the gate. I'm like, Mom, Dad. And there's this gigantic diamond stud on the side of my nose. That's the one time I put magnets in my nose.
Did they try to keep it quiet, or did they know?
No, they were like, what the hell are you doing? You have job interviews in like 5 months. What the hell, man? Yeah, no, they were not happy with me.
Were they more upset by the piercing or the fact that you had perhaps paid a whole bunch of money for a diamond?
That's a good question. Boy, at that point, as you know, at that point, Seth, I was an entrepreneur and starting my own businesses, like a laundry business my junior year. So they were less worried about the money because they knew how self-sustaining I was because of all these great entrepreneurial ideas that I had. It was probably more the image of having a gigantic diamond stud on the side of my nose.
Yeah, a diamond stud in 1990 was the equivalent of a face tattoo today. There weren't many of them. Or a nose ring. A nose ring in 1990 was still relatively rare. It was a big deal if somebody had a nose ring and it hadn't caught on yet. So yeah, that's like a face tattoo today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.